call our work session to order. It is Tuesday, January 22nd, 6:02 p.m. We are meeting in the Cedarville's Community Center. We are going to start by going to closed session. If somebody would make that motion.
I will make a motion that we go into closed session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Motion is unanimous. We'll go into closed session. Let's go through the items that are on the agenda. Just as a heads to the council, I'm going to be leaving here in 3 minutes, or about 15 minutes. So Councilmember Anderson will take their names, but I will be back for our second call session. She's ready to hit that gavel. All right, Chandler, you're up.
Okay. The first item tonight is the Spirit Canyon's subdivision agreement amendment to that. Developer that is interested in purchasing that piece from Cedarville's Farmland LLC is David Weekly Homes. And I spoke with them today, and they've asked that this item be tabled until February 19th meeting, which is fine. They want to work out a couple minor issues. Really, the only changes that they're asking for to the settlement agreement are as part of the design guidelines of the subdivision, which I think are actually beneficial to the city, are to in regards to the fencing on the property. So the current design standards show that there will be vinyl fencing around the perimeter along the Cedarville Drive at 463 for the masonry owners every so often. They want to do the concrete with the home core fence all along that perimeter so it looks nicer. And I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of pushback.
Totally like that. That's
that would be nice. So that's one of the changes that they're proposing to the design guidelines. The other one is with regards to fencing internally to the homes. It calls for open fencing similar to what the Cedars West has. This one's a little bit more, I don't have an issue with it. It's harder to change these things on an HOA if you get strained. So if there's already people to come in and put open fencing with that expectation that all the neighbors are going to be over that same standard, and then they change it at that point, and then others come in and get to be close to fencing. Where there's no home built there, I think everyone comes into the HOA with the same expectation. So it's either this is a change that the council will okay with, this is the time to do. We've met with them, we've evolved, we've kind of gone over some of their home elevations. They made a really nice home. It's part that we we're excited to work with them, but we just want to make sure that most of the people checked off on the list are guarantees that settlement agreement, the settlement agreement has been met. So they're asking for a documentation from the city regarding access to easements, vacation of certain easements that are no longer required, verification of water rights. Those have been transferred.
Well, water rights, they're owned by Swartz, right?
Well, no, water rights for the whole development. So, as part of the settlement agreement,
we agreed to settle
for a certain amount of water rights, and we developed, I believe it was 47 acres of water. And as part of their willingness to purchase that, they want to make sure that those have been transferred. Now, I've been working with our attorney and the state to verify those, and it's in process right now. It started in September, so it really should wrap up sometime soon. So they're hoping to maybe get some closure on the corner items before they get to the city council. So we're going to ask to table this item tonight. Item number seven.
Did they also read that they're not going to develop the commercial portion of that?
So as part of the assignment is they don't want the commercial. They want to so Cedarville's Farmland LLC, their owner, the whole property, will maintain ownership of the commercial piece. David will help to take ownership of the residential subdivision. And either way, whoever develops that commercial piece will be known to the city's commercial site guidelines. Any questions on that?
This is the festival. Go ahead.
Did they want some clarification on the three different materials?
Yeah, so they met with staff on that, and it's not very clear in the design guidelines. It talks about the need for three different materials and then three elements on the front of the house. And they're interpreting that to mean three materials would be like stucco, and there's only a certain percentage of that. 7%, 30%. Hardy core, brick, stone, the material, and the elements would be like dormers or certain types of shutters or something.
I would like a little bit of metal roofs or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And they can be really creative in that regard. So they want some verification. So that when they start,
and then the pop out.
Yeah, there's so many things that they can do. They just want verification from staff that this would be acceptable. And I believe that we're all.
And they show some elevation part in
it. In private meetings, staff can have.
So my other question I have is that fence issue. Did that have anything to do with when we modified the fence issue for cottonwood and our people are we had the fence yard? Remember the open slats thing?
Oh,
is that related to that because of safety and stuff?
No. That was when it's a street, a major street is next to a trail. That our code used to require that those fences be open. We've changed that since.
But it still applies to a trail, right?
Yeah, but in this case, the fencing was closed still. This is fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, so the open fencing is actually internal into like in between the lots.
Oh, I see. Just their own.
So they're saying we want closed fencing in between these lots. And that's why I say it's easier to change that now than after you've built the first lots.
Which, by the way, do we have a violation now on the trail? Going up from Deerfield Elementary School.
The
guy has a solid block fence in there now because he built a pool.
It's really off topic here, but what a number of those residents have done is there's the open fencing along there, and they've gone ahead and put in solid fence, or they've raised the grade of their lot so that there's a retaining wall there. And our code doesn't really.
Definitely greater.
So it's
whatever. I just saw it.
No, I know you're talking about. So, any other questions? Item number 8 is a public safety contract with American Park Public Safety Services. Joel has reviewed this. We've sent the revisions over to American Park. They've reviewed it. Joel did a great job adding some language that basically states that the police officers are not employees of the city of Cedar Hills. Basically treating them like big contractors. The other big change would be the maintenance of the building. The city would be on the hook for maintaining that building, being able to make repairs at the car park station. We just have to make sure that we're maintaining it off of the reasonable maintenance and not on the open side. They looked at it, they like it, we like it. I hope you got a chance to review it. Any questions on the police contract? Okay. Baseball diamond. Item number 9. I'm not going to present all of my pictures of baseball diamonds as pretty as they were last meeting. I'm not going to present that again. But during the motion that was made to award the bid on December 18th, there was specific language of the removal of baseball diamonds. So we're asking for a motion to put that back in. I feel like staff's recommendation is we've demonstrated that this field is a safe field. We've additionally gotten, the time from the last meeting, Charles went ahead and got bids on additional fencing, the backstop. What we showed last time was there's backstop fencing at 17 feet, 6 inches high that hit the overhang. Hopefully it holds up the driveway fence. But then
the original back.
Right. That one. See that?
Did you see it?
No, is it? It fell over on one day.
Oh my heck.
It's crazy. It's
okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it. And then along the baselines, it went 30 feet. And that's about halfway down the baseline. Cheryl got bids to, and it's not that much more, just extend that 60 feet so it's all the way through the base on both the third and first baseline. We feel like that's about as safe as you can make this to make a baseball diamond. So staff is recommending that be included back in the bid and we award that portion of the bid back to public. Any questions about the baseball diamond? Okay.
I do have a question.
Sure.
So, in that 60 feet of fence on either side, is there any elevation there so
the kids can be able to? We can design that way. Yeah, we've gotten bids on the length of the fence, we probably increased the bid just a little bit, not much. Yeah, so we just put an, identify this is where you want either cutouts or picks, yeah, that's easy. Make sure of that. Any questions for Big Ten? Okay, last item for tonight is the discussion on utility billing for suspended services. This is, was a request made by a resident that was interested in having the council consider reviewing portions of the bid of their bill while they're away for an extended period of time. Currently, I hope you're familiar with your own utility bill, so hope nothing I say tonight shocks you about what's on the bill. But currently, even if you leave town, there's a $15 fee to shut off services. That's assuming you do that during hours. You do it after hours, no matter what, $15. But assuming you do it during hours, there's a $15 fee to turn off the water. We still charge a water base rate, because we still charge a water base rate. We charge for Central Utah Project Water. We charge for sewer base rate. We do not charge garbage during that time. We charge storm drain fees. We charge a PI usage and a PI base rate and the fire paramedic service. So really the only thing they get zeroed out is the water usage. Now, I'm gonna explain why that is and why the rationale has been, and if you feel very different, I'd love to hear that. But the base rates go towards our DMT that we make sure that we're meeting our debt service obligations for bonds and on the system. It also can be that we're having to still maintain the system even though that person's absent. So a good example would be storm drain. Even though storm drain, you're out of town for a number of months, we're still having to maintain storm drains throughout the city to make sure the water's flowing where it needs to flow. On the paramedic fire fee, yeah, you're not here, but if your house is on fire, we're still going to respond to this. We still have to pay our public safety fees. So the city's rationale has been, though, even though you're not here to use the system, you come back and the system is still there because we're maintaining it and we're paying personnel to maintain it. So something like the PI usage and the PI base rate, you may ask, why is that one not waived? Well, that's amortized over the course of the entire year. So even though you're leaving during the winter, you're here during the summer when you're using that PI water. We're paying for that PI system all throughout the year. So that's been the rationale. We reached out to some other cities. American Fork charges a $50 disconnection fee in contrast to our $15. They remove the culinary water usage, they remove sewer, and they remove garbage. So the only difference that there is that they maintain sewer. They maintain charges for pressurized irrigation, they maintain charges for storm drain, and then what they have is they call it a water purchase fee, which is similar to our CEP fee, which is us purchasing water per year. Highland, you have to be absent for at least 6 months of the year, and then at that point, they will remove culinary water, sewer, garbage. And then Alpine, they typically do not adjust rates for when they leave town. If you lose a pretty big time, you still be billed water base rate, sewer base rate, irrigation, EMT service, which is like our fire department employees, and smoke pit. So, I didn't expect that in reaching out, I didn't expect that the city would be an outlier here, and I don't believe that we are. If there's something, if there's a fee that you feel like we should not charge during a person's absence over the course of the winter, staff is looking for that direction. This is what our internal policies have been. If we need any changes to that, we're open to those.
I think by nature of them not there, their water usage isn't.
Well, because it'll go down, we'll go to zero.
So, as far as the sewer goes, how that's calculated is the average winter usage rate. So they're not using it during the winter. It might be one gallon for that 6 months or whatever. And so they get to get that cheaper rate in the summer when they are using it because it's based on the winter rate.
So we take, in order to calculate the indoor water usage, it's from, October to
March.
You take your average water usage. We know that all of that is indoors, not none of it's PI. And that creates your sewer base rate for the rest of the year. So if you're gone for 4 months of the winter, your sewer base rate is artificially low for the rest of the year.
That's so you don't get penalized when you use your culinary water in your yard for
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
Different things.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have extra water usage that doesn't go down the sewer.
That doesn't go down the drain, yeah.
So, how many people have asked? Just the one family, right, has asked?
Well, I don't know how many have asked. I know one person does, but I'll say ask.
Most persistent.
Most people are just, okay.
But people do inquire about, and we get a...
Not many. It's very few. Charles probably has a better understanding of that than I do, but I don't think so. Right?
I don't hear of it. Yeah,
it's not.
The other issue, too, is it'd be very hard to... But if the waste management goes up the street, they don't know. I mean, they could come and put their garbage out anytime they want. There's no way waste management would not pick up their trash.
We don't charge the garbage fee anything. We take them at the word on that one. So we zero up. We don't charge them for water usage. We don't charge them for garbage during their absence. So,
okay, so
in that case, yes, their neighbor could go throw all their trash in the neighbors and then take it out of the street. Yeah, joke's on us. But that's, dropping metaphorical.
True. But I'm just saying, how do they come back and say, well, we're back on now, when they really have been there for 2 months, and then they go, oh, well, we probably need
it. The way I see it, it's like the city still has to pay our mortgage bill on this, even though you're not
right
here.
I agree.
And your utility rate is the way that we pay the mortgage bill. And I know it's one person out of the entire city, but it creates a policy that we can present problems later.
I don't know. I find it really interesting that someone looking for two houses is complaining about his feet. That's just me. So, I don't see any problem with this.
Jeff.
Just a couple of comments on that from the public works perspective. What we've found when people leave for an extended period of time during the winter is that one, the meter doesn't rotate. When it doesn't rotate, then it calcifies, and then we have to go out and repair the meter when they come back because it then no longer reads their water usage. And the second is that we have an increase in the water meters freezing because the water is not moving through the meter, and so it freezes at a lower higher temperature than
it
is moving. Yes, and then we have to go out and change the freeze plates, turn the water off, turn the water back on. So I there's some additional costs to consider when people leave during the winter. Within 2 weeks, if it's a cold period, we're out responding to them. So.
You have to do it one way and then fill it all annually, one time a year, or you do something every month. So, there you go, it makes sense. That's all I got.
Okay. All right, are you done?
Unless you want to talk to anybody.
Talk about
we have
this.
Time.
Let's do it.
You just need a motion.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to report on the driveway?
Yeah. Yesterday at about 11:24, driving things fenced out. How many holes were it?
Five
holes. Well, it was one snap, and you can tell that it just pulled down some others. So we had crews, but fortunately we had crews out. I was out in the city at the same time. Jeff came out. We pushed the pole off the road.
Did it fall towards the road?
Yeah, it fell towards the road. What we did, the netting there is held by some cable, goes parallel to the ground, and it was pulling the other poles down. One pole's all the way down on the ground, and there was a couple more. One was just about to hit the ground, another one was about halfway to the ground being upright. And so Greg came out and bravely cut those cables. I was really worried about retention on those cables.
Yeah. A lot of pressure on it?
So then it brought those poles down. So if you're driving by now, you wouldn't see poles being suspended in midair. But we are working with the people that installed the poles and our insurance company to replace it. We're hoping to have it done ready for golf season, but I think that might be a high in the sky. It's going to be very early right now.
Crazy. There was a lot of that.
storm super saturated our ground. There's a lot of water out there.
Part of the, Jeff found this, but part of the problem is that we've talked to Jeff Spiegel about is with the poles. There's some holes that are in the poles, I don't know what they're called, which should be buried, and they weren't buried. So that's what probably caused the problem to snap. We've got a couple more still up that are the same way. And Nils Fugel,
Wasn't it Fugel?
Fugel's done it. Wade's already reached out to them, and they said they'll be out in the next couple of days. They're going to work with us. So, in some ways, there's some responsibility on their part, but the entire net's going to have to be replaced again because it's just stretched. We had to cut
the nets?
So we had to cut it just to relieve the pressure.
So it might have to.
And it's just torn off a lot of different sections. There's a lot of damage to it. So, we're probably going to have to redo the whole thing.
It's completely ripped along one end, and then in order to get the pole safely down, we had to snap the cables and then cut the net as well. So it's, we've got three nets up there now.
They are also going to give us, we're asking for some bids too on some steel poles versus the wooden poles.
This is the second time it's happened.
Yeah, so it may be better possibly to go with steel, and then instead of every 50 feet, maybe 100, because this with steel is not going to do anything.
I mean, obviously, do we need guy wires? I hate to say that.
Yeah.
It's in the way of things.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, we probably should have to look at
bring some guy wires back to the north and to the right. It's annoying in the driving range, yes, but it will alleviate some of that pressure with the poles and stuff.
I don't know if any, probably a lot of you have seen the video. It was posted. I actually looked at it again today, and it's amazing. As they start coming up that hill, you can see it's falling off. The net's falling off that one pole, and you can see it's just dropped. And then all of a sudden, the rest of it just dropped.
Someone got the video as it was falling?
It just happened to get on their dash cam. It was unbelievable footage. Yeah.
If there's nothing else, I will entertain a motion to exit work session.
I'll make a motion to close work session.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I like that gavel moment.
Yeah, he needs to use that one.